We want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and going to be bringing a message entitled Hannah, a Mother's Faith Promise. As we think about faith promise giving and missions, and I believe as we look at the life of Hannah, we can see the same principles that we see in 2 Corinthians there that Pastor mentioned this morning about giving by faith. Hannah, a Mother's Faith Promise. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11 as our beginning point, as we see this story of Hannah and how she was willing from her heart to give unto the Lord. Notice verse 1, it says, Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives, the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all his sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. This is Hannah, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Here Hannah prays, and she says, Lord, I want to have a son. And if you'll just answer this prayer and give me a son, I'm trusting you for a son, and if you'll give me that son, I will give him back to you for his whole life. And she made this promise of faith. And here Hannah was a woman who knew the Lord and worshiped him. She's here at the tabernacle, and she's worshiping as she's come with her husband there in verse 7. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord. So every year she would go with her husband, and they would offer sacrifices there at the tabernacle there at Shiloh. And she prayed to the Lord there in verse 10. So she was a woman of prayer, and she had faith that the Lord could do something to meet her need and to use her. And she appreciated, as she approached the Lord, really with great humility here as she prayed and gave her own self to the Lord. Notice in verse 11, she said, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore and vowed a vow and said, If thou wilt look indeed on the affliction of thine handmaid. She said, Lord, I'm your handmaid. I am your servant. And so she's beseeching the Lord for the desire of her heart. The Lord's meeting her needs as far as her family and all that goes. Her husband gives her everything she needs and all of that. But she has the desire of her heart to have a son. And we must do the same as we approach missions giving with a heart of humility. As the churches of Macedonia did in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, as we read last night, and Pastor was in this passage this morning, but he says in verse 1, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. There's that willing mind, the willing heart, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, and here's the key One of the keys there to faith promise, and here's what Hannah did, I believe, as well. It says, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord, or to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. And so they came to the Lord, the church of Macedonia here did, the people of those churches said, Lord, we're just your servants. We're giving ourselves to you, and we want you to use us, and we want you to meet the needs of others on the mission field as the Apostle Paul's trying to reach other folk in Thessalonica and other places with the gospel. Would you use us? And we want to be used, even though we look at our pocketbooks and we're really in great poverty, as the Lord speaks of them there. But they were able to give not just to their power, but the Bible says they're beyond their power. That's grace giving, the grace of God providing for them so that they could give more than they thought they could give as God made provision for them. And so here we have Hannah, and she knew the Lord and worshiped him. Hannah was also made this promise of faith, as we mentioned there in verse 11. She said, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to the Lord for his whole life. And she gave that promise to the Lord, and I believe Hannah saw the needy condition of the work of the house of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, if you'd look there for just a moment at verse 12, there's quite a shocking verse here. It says in chapter 2, verse 12, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, now the sons of Eli, now they were, we learned in, as we read the first part, they were the priest of the Lord, ministering in the tabernacle there in the temple. And but notice in verse 12 it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. And then look at this shocking statement. They knew not the Lord. Here were the men standing as the priest of Israel, because it was inherited. It was passed down, from their father. They were the Eli's sons, so they became the priests. But they didn't know the Lord. They were trying to minister to people in the name of the Lord, but they were sons of Belial. They were Satan's agents there in that place. And we find out they were doing some terrible things if you read on. We're not dealing with that this morning. But I believe as Hannah came, maybe she had sensed that these men were not truly men of God, and she, her heart yearned for God to do something in her nation, and she promised something to the Lord by faith that she did not possess, and which could only be supplied by God's provision and God's grace. And again, if we think about the Macedonian churches, they were able to give something they didn't have, because God supplied. God met the need as they gave themselves to the Lord. And so we promise and we trust God to supply, as the folk in Macedonia did and as Hannah did. And so Hannah, I believe, saw the need in her nation and of the world, and the need of the true word of God to be proclaimed. And so Hannah, thirdly, this morning, I believe, gave what she did give what she promised, when God did provide, and she trusted him to provide, and she did receive from the Lord, and she followed through with that promise. She had a great desire to be a mother, and God answered that prayer, and when God gave her a son, she did lend him back to the Lord for his whole life. 1 Samuel chapter 1, notice verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she has had the son. We're not going to read all those verses, but verse 24, and when she had weaned him, this is Samuel, of course, was her son, and she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood before thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, excuse me, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. And so she comes to the tabernacle, and we didn't read those verses this morning, but when she had prayed originally there at the tabernacle, and the Bible says her lips moved, but she wasn't making any noise. And Eli thought she was drunk, and he rebuked her, and she said, "No, my Lord, I have a heavy heart, and I'm praying to the Lord." And Eli said, "Well, the Lord grant you the petition that you're praying for." And the Lord did do that. And now she's coming back, and she's reminding Eli that I'm this woman that was praying, you remember? And she said, "Now here's the son, the answer to my prayer. And I'm going to give him back to the Lord. I'm lending him to the Lord for his whole life to serve the Lord right here in the tabernacle." So she gave him to the Lord. I recall getting a letter in the mail one time. I think my second year or third year in college. It was from my mother, and she wrote to me often. And I would get a letter usually every couple weeks, and I would always look forward to those letters. But in this one particular letter, she said this. She said, "Dwight, you know, your dad passed away when you were 5 years old, when he was just 37 years old." And she said, "I'm not praying that you don't get cancer, that you don't die at a young age like he did. I'm praying that you would follow the Lord. I'm praying that you would do whatever the Lord wants you to do. And I've given you to the Lord." And that really made an impact on my heart. I'd already surrendered my life to the Lord when I was 17 years old to do whatever he wanted me to do. But just knowing that my mother had in her heart said, "Lord, he is yours." And that she was praying that way, that the Lord would use me and take my life and do something with it for his glory. And it motivated me even more to commit my life to the Lord. And let me ask you this question this morning. Does your missions giving by faith extend to your children? Have you said to the Lord, "Lord, would you use my son? Lord, would you use my daughter? Even if that means they're leaving home and going somewhere far away, halfway around the world with the gospel." We ought to have that kind of a heart that says, "Lord," as Hannah did here. Can you imagine? Yearning for a child and yearning for a child, and finally you have a child, and as soon as he's weaned, you take him far away and leave him for the rest of his life. What a hard thing for a mother to do, yet she kept her promise to the Lord, and she gave. And we as well need to be willing to give of our children. I have four children, and I pray that the Lord will use them and for his glory. The hymn, "O Zion, Haste," says this: "O Zion, haste, thy mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light, that he who hath made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release." Verse 2 says, "Behold, how many thousands still are lying bound in the darksome prison house of sin, with none to tell them of the Savior's dying, or of the life he died for them to win. Proclaim to every people, tongue, and nation, that God, in whom they live and move, is love. Tell how he stooped to save his lost creation, and died on earth that we might live above. 'Tis thine to save from peril or perdition the souls for whom the Lord his life laid down. Beware lest, slothful to fulfill thy mission, thou lose one jewel that should deck his crown. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release." And the last verse of that hymn says this, concerning our willingness to give our children to the service of Christ. It says this: "Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. O Zion, haste to bring the brighter day." Are we willing to give, not just of our finances, not just of our prayers, but of even of our children? As the Macedonians gave, they first gave themselves, the Lord, everything they had. They said, "Lord, it's yours. We want it to be used for thee. We want it to be used to reach others." And so we give in faith, trusting God to continue to supply our need as he promises. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 to 19. in the context of missions giving. It says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." They were his only supporting church during that time. "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and am abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And then he says, "But my God," in response to your giving, "my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I recall a time when I was teaching in the Christian school at our sending church, and my salary was, I think, $8,000 a year. And we came to our missions conference, and I was already giving to missions through Faith Promise. And during that conference, the Lord laid on my heart, as I considered, you know, what I should put on that Faith Promise card, the Lord laid a number on my heart, which was actually significantly more than I was giving. And I had an argument with the Lord for a couple days about that, and I said, "Are you sure, Lord?" And I had been saving, trying to put some money aside to buy a new suit that year, because my suits were getting thin at the knees and thin at the back, I really needed a new suit. And I thought, "Well, you know, Lord," and the Lord said, I'll provide for you. Just go ahead and give by faith." And so I did. I wrote that number down, and I began to give that amount on a weekly basis. And a couple months after that, my pastor came by my school door one afternoon after school, and he said, "Brother Talbot, could you use some bananas?" And I said, "Well, I guess. I don't really like bananas all that well, but I can eat a few." And he said, "Well, somebody gave us 6 cases of bananas, and they won't last long. We've got to get rid of them. So here, you take a half a case." I thought, what in the world am I going to do with half a case of bananas? So I began thinking, you know, who can I get bananas to? I might eat 4 or 5. So I began to pray and said, "Lord, you've given me these bananas. I know it's for a reason." And so I was supposed to go to my grandmother's that night to have supper. So I thought, well, she'll take some. And I was praying, "Lord, who should I give bananas to?" So as I drove through Mannington, West Virginia, I thought of Naomi Hart. And she was a pastor's wife, and her husband had passed away at about age 91. She was up in years, and he'd passed away just about a month before that. And I'd been to the funeral, but hadn't been back to see her. So I stopped in at her house and knocked on her door with a bunch of bananas. I said, and she came to the door, and she said, I said, "Hello, Mrs. Hart. I just wanted to come by and see how you're doing, and been praying for you." And she said, "Oh, thank you so much, Dwight." And I said, "I brought you some bananas. Do you like bananas?" And she said, "Oh, I love bananas." And she said, "I haven't been eating well since my husband passed away, and my daughter's been fussing at me because I've not been eating right." And she said, "I'll eat bananas." And I said, "Well, I've got more in the car. Would you like 2 bunches?" And she said, "Sure, I'll take 2. And so I went back and got some more and came in and visited with her a few minutes. And I got ready to go. I said, "I've got to be up at my grandmother's to eat supper, and so I ought to get going." And so I started out the door, and just as I got to the door, she said, "Dwight, could you use a suit?" And I said, "Well, yes, actually I could." And she said, "Well, why don't you go back to the bedroom, and all my husband's suits are there in the closet. Why don't you look through there and see if one of them would fit you?" So I went back to the bedroom and looked through and found a suit that I liked and put it on, and it was almost a perfect fit. So I went out and showed it to her, and she said, "Well, it looks good on you." And so she said, "You can have it." So I went back and you know, changed back into my clothes and headed out the door with my suit. And I got almost out the door, and she said, "Dwight, wait a minute." She said, "Why don't you just go take all of them?" And I said, "I couldn't do that." And she said, "Well, that's what the Lord just laid on my heart. So you better do it." So I went back to the bedroom and made 3 trips to my car, because there were 15 suits in that closet. 4 of them had the tags sewn to them and never been used. And here I was, you know, I got back in the car, and You know, just the Lord convicted my heart about my argument I'd had with him during the missions conference, you know, about increasing this little bit and you know, worrying about trusting him because I needed a new suit. And then when I did go ahead and trust the Lord and began to give, he didn't just give me one suit. He gave me 15. And I was able to give suits to, you know, people in the church and gave my brother some, and I wore those suits for years. And the Lord is able to provide. Remember the promise? If we give, the Lord promises to pour us out a blessing, heaped up, pressed down, running over. The Lord will do that. And it's not all, he doesn't always give us money in response to our giving money. He just makes your car get better gas mileage, you know, and things like that. He's able to provide and meet our needs as he did the Philippian church. And so are we willing? Hannah added to her investment by faith each year. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, this principle of increasing our faith. Verse 18, but Samuel ministered in the Lord. He's there in the tabernacle helping Eli, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, he's working in the tabernacle. I'm sure Eli was providing you know, clothing and things for him. But every year she would take him a coat and provide more and add to her giving to the Lord in helping her son continue on in serving Christ. And so each year she took this coat to give to her son who served. And the Lord wants us to continue to add to our investment in missions and allow him to increase our faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, Paul said this, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure excuse me, of the rule which God hath distributed unto us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. So Paul said, when your faith is increased, there'll be more of a provision so that we can reach more people in the regions beyond you with the gospel. And as the Lord increases our faith as a church, we're able to do more in providing the needs of missionaries to go more places or to take on more missionaries to go more places in the world with the gospel. What a blessing it is to be involved in that through my local church. And so God blessed Hannah, and God blessed her nation as a result of her giving by faith. God blessed her with more children, both sons and daughters. God didn't just give her one son. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, and the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. She invested one son in the work of the Lord. And God repaid her 500-fold. What a wonderful blessing that Hannah had. And not only that, God blessed her with more children. God gave her the desire of her heart for children. And God blessed the nation through Samuel. As he ministered as the priest in the tabernacle, he became the first. Of course, the sons of Eli are killed, and God allows them to be killed during a war because of their evil hearts. They didn't know the Lord, as we looked at. But Samuel, the man of God, was raised up in the temple there and began to minister to the Lord, and as he ministered as the priest of the tabernacle, he also became the first circuit riding preacher in Israel. He had a circuit that he went, as you read there in Samuel, he went from place to place ministering to the people. And as he led the nation of Israel for many years, he was the last judge, and then finally he's the one that God uses to anoint David as king. And of course Saul and then David as king, and going forth in the kingdom of Israel from that part on. But let me ask you this question this morning. Are you participating in faith promise giving? Giving, and that is giving by God's grace, trusting God to provide so that you can give, and He will. Are you letting the Lord increase your faith over time? If you are giving, are you allowing the Lord to increase your faith and to say, Lord, what more can I do? What more can you do through me? I'm going to trust you for more this time and this year and in the future. And then also the question that needs to come, as we mentioned last night, are you even qualified to be involved? Are you saved? As we mentioned last night, you cannot be involved in missions until you know the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you don't know much about missions or you're wondering about missions, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you can't be involved yet because you're still a mission field. And the most important thing you can do is realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and He paid the penalty for your sin. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Jesus Christ paid that penalty and now offers unto us the gift of eternal life. And as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And the promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you're here this morning and don't know Christ, we'd invite you to trust Him as Savior. And then you can be involved in reaching others with the gospel. But if you know the Lord here this morning, I hope you'll pray and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? As the Apostle Paul prayed on the Damascus Road, and Lord, would you use me and use me to do something beyond what I can imagine, because we serve a God who is able to do, the Bible says, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it says, according to His power that worketh in us. And so it's God's power in us that enables us to reach people with the gospel as a witness ourselves, and also God's power working in and through us that enables us as members of a local church to reach the world with the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Hannah. Thank you for her promise and her desire to be used of thee. Lord, as she said, Lord, if you'll just give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And Lord, she followed through with that promise and gave. And Lord, you met her need in first giving her a son, but also in giving her more children. And you blessed the nation of Israel and led them forward through her son. Lord, what an impact this woman had in just giving herself to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm just your handmaid. Lord, would you help us to have that same heart, that same attitude, the willing mind, the willing heart, and the heart that says, Lord, I want to be yours and I want to be used of you. And Lord, as we look at this area of missions this morning, Lord, I want to be used of you in the area of faith promise giving. And I want to be used of you as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ on the job and my community and or in my family and in those that I come in contact with. Lord, may you use these dear folk and help them this morning and help all of us as we consider what you want us to do and how you want to work through us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.